God, with God, all things are possible. You want to hear that today?
Yeah.
I think we need that, right? We need that. All things are possible with God sometimes, actually all the time. Otherwise, we can't exist with God. It just doesn't happen. So let's go through this passage. I want to make it personal this morning. I really do. Because the passage, we're going to go through it and look at it and look at the story and see how it basically spoke to this young guy, or whether he was young or not. It says he was in one of the passages. That's how they title it. But whatever he was some sort of ruler or some sort of guy that had some money, and he needed to sacrifice it to God. So let's read through his experience, and let's see what it might look like to us. All right, so we'll go through it fairly quickly, this first part. A lot of you will know this story. If you don't, it's a really interesting story. The rich in the kingdom of God. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him. So that says something in and of itself. This guy was in the process of a change. He really wanted something different. Something was happening in his life, and he was starting to be held up to that, and he's realizing that maybe there's something more he needs to do. He was anxious, right? And he wanted to have eternal life. And he literally ran up to them. Now, I know running doesn't seem like much to you, maybe, but it's a sign of often where you're almost disrespecting yourself. You're running, you're pulling up your cloak, and away you go. And so you're just putting care to the wind. You don't really care anymore. You're just going. And you're running after Jesus. Have you ever been like that? I have been. I'll tell you, for the most part, I care too much about myself to actually run after Jesus. So, even though this guy made some decisions that maybe we don't think was right, he made a really good decision. He ran after Jesus. He didn't care what people thought. And he said, good teacher. And a good teacher can mean all sorts of different things. It's respect, it's honor, it's political maybe, it's, I don't know. It's an attempt to get a favor from Jesus. Good teacher, what must I do? What must I do? He's grappled with it. He's tried all these things. And for some reason, all of the law keeping hasn't worked for him. So he says, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus responds to him. He says, why do you call me good? Now, Jesus is deflecting a little bit here. He actually wants to put this guy in the presence of God, even though he doesn't know he's in the presence of God. So he says, no, only God is good. You know, don't get it wrong here. Jesus knows who he is, right? He knows he's the Son of God, and he knows that he is good. But this is now time to take this young man who's desperate, anxious, and actually direct him to who he needs to be speaking to, and that's God. Not just some good teacher. Not just some respected person. He's setting him up. Right? And the interesting thing is that the young guy already knows this. This rich guy already knows it. Because he's already given up on stuff that hasn't worked. And he knows he needs something a little bit different. Something a little bit more. And each of us need that too. We need something different. A little bit more. We maybe are trying to make ourselves look good too. Maybe we figured out ways to make ourselves seem like if we're into the church, like we're a Christian and that we've got things going there. And so we do all the right things. But you and I can both come to a point where it's like, oh, this is not working for me. I need something more. I need to know. I want to know. And whatever happened with this guy's life, he needed to know. He needed to know right then. And I'm telling you, either you or people you know need to know right now. They need to know. So we need to be like Jesus. As people come to us, we need to direct them to God. And we need to start to share with them what it takes. And Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother and teacher. He declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. So he's not just referring to that. He's referring, the guy's basically saying, I've done everything. You know, I've done it all. A lot of you guys look pretty good out there too. I'm guessing you guys did pretty well too. I grew up as a pastor's kid, so I learned how to look good. Not like physically, but in my actions. That was a hard step for me to do, but not. But I tried, I had to do everything to sort of keep up the image. And I was good at that. I mean, I have four of us in our family, four kids, and the three of us were pretty good. Well, there might have been another one that wasn't so good, but anyhow, that doesn't matter. We all felt the pressure to do something. And we lived up to whatever image we thought would get what we wanted, right? If there was a way that I'm going to live, I'm going to figure out how to live that way to get what I want. And it may not be good. It may be other things too. Maybe you've all chosen different ways to live so you can achieve what you want. And so you might be running up to someone too. What do I have to do What do I have to do to just get that step forward? To feel like I'm in, like I can do it, I can make it through life, and life's going to be good for me. Maybe you're not thinking about eternal life. Maybe you're just thinking about life in general. And don't we all relate to that? We want to know how it's going to work. Well, this guy kept all the laws. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's what you can come to. You see, I don't know where you go to get your acceptance and to figure out whether you're good enough or not, or whether you're going to have life after death or whatever. I don't know where you go to get that, but please go to God. Because it says here that he's going to look at you and he's going to love you. And in looking at you, he sees all of it. He sees everything. And yet, he loves you and me. Go to God. Don't go to other places. As tempting as it is and as self-fulfilling as it seems, there's another thing that we need to do. We need to go to God. And it says, one thing you lack. Oh, good. I knew it. Right? I knew it. One thing I lack. This is exactly what I came, Jesus. This is why I came. So here we go. One thing you lack. He said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Okay. So that's probably not what he had in mind. And he's probably also thinking, well, obviously we give to the poor. And I've done that so much out of my abundance. And I feel really good about it because now it's achieved some status for me. And so I've done really well at that. So what's this everything? That's a little extreme. Now, let's take the context because the disciples know exactly what he's talking about here. They gave up everything and they followed Jesus. And you may think, well, they didn't have much money. Well, I don't know what they had, but they gave up everything. It doesn't matter how much you have. When you give it all up, that's extreme. And they did. So as they're watching this rich young ruler, maybe they're trying to think what he's going to do, how he's going to respond. And interesting, in the Old Testament, the rich are blessed. So he's blessed. This guy's blessed. God's blessing him. Of course he's going to heaven. But now he's forced with the question, will you give up those blessings? Will you give it up for me? Are you willing to do that? And so he said, after that, come and follow me too. So you're basically surrendering everything you have for him anyhow, and then following Jesus, turning your life completely around. It's not a simple thing. And it's interesting to take this into our hearts and our minds, because I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes, and you see the disciples struggle with this too, with how to share Jesus to somebody. And how to share it the nicest way possible, and kind of sneak them into the kingdom so that they don't have to really see that maybe they have to surrender everything. Come on over here. It's actually quite good. We have a good group. They love you. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we can do some things. I'll get you involved. And you'll just be happy, happy, happy.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on. Let's go. Look at my life. I'm loving it. No, so it's, but it's challenging, right? It's a really tough teaching. And if we water it down and don't share what it really is, then we're actually not loving people because we're not letting them be free of the very things that are holding them back from enjoying life. Crazy, right? It may sound crazy, but it's true. And so he said to him, you have to give everything, and you have to come and follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, when he went away sad, I think he knew all along this is what was going to happen. He knew his problem. He knew his vice. He knew what was running him, and that was the problem. It didn't actually work, but he still believed it would. And so when Jesus said you had to give it all up, that was too much. And so he's like, yeah, Jesus, you nailed it. You actually nailed it. And I can't do it. And again, I say to you and me, Jesus nails it in our life. He's speaking to you, all of you, and it may not be the same things he's speaking to me about, but he's speaking to you about it, and he's asking you to give it up today, like right now, and then come and follow Jesus. And we're saying, ah. That one thing I cannot, and that's exactly why he's got his finger on that one thing. And there'll be another thing tomorrow, and another thing the next day. Because we just pick up baggage, and we add stuff to our lives, and we treat them like gods. Because they're going to give us fulfillment, not God, not Jesus. So he went away sad, just like I've done many times. Because I realized, I can't do it. I really like that. I really enjoy that. And I do not want to give it up. And so you're probably sitting in your seat thinking, no wonder you don't preach this gospel very much. Because what are people going to say if you ask them to give up everything? And it may sound like Jesus is a bit of a killjoy, but that's exactly the blinders that we have on. We don't see clearly what Jesus is doing, because the very things that might seem to take away from us and cause us grief or cause us not to have the popularity or maybe the things that we want are the very things that are going to set us free. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this as we get to the end, because that's where it's going to get personal, and we'll have some fun with it. Literally, we will. Trust me. The reason I say that is because when Jesus comes to us, he looks at us and he loves us. So it's not like he's going to slap you around and make you give it up and then throw you back out there and hope that you make it. No, it's not like that. He actually loves us. And he was happy that this guy came running after him. He was embracing that opportunity to engage. And now I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your life. God does it with us all the time. He's doing it with each one of you today. He's engaging with you right now. And he's saying to you, are you willing to give that up for me? Because that thing is holding you back. You don't know how much it's holding you back. It's not letting you be free to live the life that I've designed for you, which is going to be life-giving. At times very challenging and hard, but life-giving. And you're going to experience life. You're going to live it. You're not going to be run by the things and the people that you used to be run by. You're going to be run by God.
Amen.
Freedom. That is freedom. That is freedom. How many things bind us, hold us back, keep us from enjoying the life that God intended for us? It says, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, now he's back with the disciples. They watched all this happening. They're like, yeah, we've been there. We've done that. But wow, that's hard. This guy's blessed. He's got so many things. God loves him. How hard is it, Jesus says, for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Interesting he said children, because I really believe like that was important that it was there, because if we can just go back to being like a child and put aside all the things that we feel are making us so great and just be simple. Simplify. We hear that all the time these days about simplifying our lifestyles. Well, it's a good thing. Simplify your life. And actually say to Jesus, yeah, in faith, I just give it to you. You know how kids do that? Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, not the teenagers. I mean, I'm talking about the younger ones. Right? They're like, whoa! They do the opposite. But anyhow, the kids are like that, right? And we need to be those kind of children that come and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do this. I'm giving it up. And I'll tell you something before I go on too much more with this and we go practical. When we do that, God actually does it for us. Because not long before this passage, he was talking to the disciples about taking up the cross, basically dying, denying themselves, putting aside all the things that they put up as gods, sort of idols, and then following him. So it's right along the same vein as this passage. This is just him practically showing them how it works out. I thought I was just going to take up the cross and carry it and then go die to myself and, you know, deny myself and follow you. I didn't get that. No, he's, and maybe you're like that too. Maybe you figured out a way that the Bible stuff is going to work. And so you got a formula in your mind that's going to work. Well, that formula, any formula that you have is wrong. Any formula that I have is wrong. We just simply have to give it to God. And so he's practically showing them what it looks like to take up a cross, deny himself, and follow him. Well, it's giving up the vices, the things that are holding you back from enjoying me, my presence, who I am. You need to be like children. So it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Just showing an illustration. There's all sorts of talks on what that means and what it is, but basically it's just hard. It's hard. And he's not just talking to rich people, he's talking to all of us. And by the way, we are wealthy, but that aside, he's just talking to people. It is hard to give up what is important to us so that we can follow Jesus. Whatever is important to you, I'm telling you, it's hard. But that's what he's asking us to surrender to him. And then we walk with him, and he gives us life. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, who then can be saved? If this guy can't be saved, who can? He's blessed by God. He has so much, and yet he can't go to church. He just walked away sad. He was brokenhearted. He doesn't know what to do. Jesus, how do we do this? How do we share this with people? people. How do we give them this gospel? What does it look like? And Jesus looked at them and he said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God, because with God, all things are possible. There's that simple childlike faith. With God, all things are possible. We say, I believe that. Oh, do you? Is that right? Well, I'd love to see maybe where you put your money. I'd love to see where you put your time. I'd love to see the activities that you're involved in. I know, I'm not going to creep you, don't worry. But really, all of those things will now display who we are. So let's go personal here. I had a good time this morning, and I wasn't going to do this, but I didn't do it because I had such a good time. So I've been telling you guys about this little app I use now and then. Well, it's called Examine, and this morning it was examining me, and as I worked through it, I wrote some things down because I thought it might be helpful for you. So it won't take too long, but let's just be personal for a little bit. Let yourself engage with God for a moment. So I know we're all in a group here, but don't worry about people around you. Just kind of spend some time with God. This is what I did, and it asks you just to invite His presence. So invite His presence to be with you, and ask God to be within you. Give Him the freedom to look at you. And also, give thanks to Him for the things that He's done for you. And there may be one or two things in particular that you're very thankful for today. Give thanks to Him for that. Okay, so let's assume we're meeting with Jesus, kind of like the rich young ruler, and He starts to ask us some questions that help us to think through where we're at. So we're going to go through three categories. We're going to look at places we go, things that we have, and then activities that we're involved in. So places we go. Here's the first question. What is the place that you go that you're most grateful for, most thankful for? What is that place that you really like to go to? And then as you're thinking of that place, if it comes to your mind quickly, does this place make it easier for you to be with God? Just another question. Does this place that you like to go make it easier for you to be with God? And maybe possibly easier for you to be with others and to love others? Now, if you have a place, and if you're thinking about that place, just thank God for it. Right? It's a simple thing. Thank God for that place. Okay, let's go on the other side. There are also places that we know that are difficult for us. So let's think about places that are difficult, possibly that aren't healthy, maybe even that are a little bit addictive to us. We get addicted to them, and even though they're not that good for us. Let's think about those kind of places. And as we go through those kind of places, that can be hard, right? It can be hard for us to go through that. And it was for me. So as you go through that, the next step that you would do if you're open to this is you ask for healing and you ask for forgiveness. So if you know a place that you go that you know just aren't healthy for you for whatever reason, you want to get them out. So here's what's happening. We'll go through two more, but here's what's happening. We allow God to look at our lives, and you may not even be able to think sometimes about what's a good place or a bad place, but God will help you. The Spirit will actually show you, and He'll put His finger on the things that we need to clarify and get right. This is what He was doing with the rich young ruler. He discovered what was unhealthy for this man, put His finger on it, but He was unwilling to ask for healing and forgiveness. My question to you is, are you willing to come before Jesus? Let Him see where you're going the wrong way, what you're putting up as a God, and then put Jesus as your God. And actually, because He looks at us, sees us, and loves us, He then wants to forgive us and heal us. So that's one place. How about the things we have in our life, the things that we own, like a car, a phone, computer, clothes, accessories, food and drink, all those kind of things? Which one do you think you're most grateful and thankful for? Do the same things we did before. Okay, and as you have that in your mind, which one actually leads you closer to God? Which one of those things that you own helps you in the presence of God? And if you have one, you just thank God for that. Because that's where we want to be. So you thank God for that thing that allows you to come into His presence. But we all know that there are many things that keep us from God's presence and from a relationship with Him. So there are things that either keep you from God, maybe cause you to sin, if you understand what that means. You get too attached to this thing, possibly, that dominates you. You make a god of that thing, even, perhaps, if you can go that far, think that far. Just get excessive with it, right? We're over-excessive with things. And then again, we just take those things before God, and we say, God, forgive me for this. Give me healing from this. And allow me to simply, if I want to use that word, and pull away from the things that maybe I don't need and that aren't helping me. So we have the places that we go. We have the things that we own. And this is the one that really caught me, is the activities that we're involved in. And as I was reading through this, the first couple things were work. A lot of us work, maybe not all of us, but we work in some way or another, maybe at home or with family. We work, eating, playing with friends, family, or our kids, watching the TV, Netflix, whatever, our computers, our phones, working hard. A lot of people I see, that's a really hard workers, working hard. Other activities might be just simply resting, right, sleeping, naps, and praying. Perhaps. That's what Matthew talked about, praying. It'd be good if we pray a little more. So again, we just want to find out what's an activity that I'm involved in that I'm thankful for, I'm grateful for, that I find is good. So if you found that, then again, you ask the same question. Is this something that draws me to Jesus, to God? Is this something that increases my desire and my relationship with Him? Does it lead me closer? Is it good? Is it healthy? Those types of questions. All right, and then if you found something and you feel it's healthy, you just thank God for it again. You thank God for the thing that He's given you, because all things come from God. And I will just go the same road as we did before. So we all know, that there are things in our life that are unhealthy, that lead us away from God, lead us away from hope, lead us away from love, and can be addictive as well. So activities that we find that are unhealthy lead away from God, from hope, from love, and cause addiction. So speak with God. And ask for forgiveness. And here's another one, and you could have done it in all steps, but asking for advice. Did you know, like, just like Jesus gave some advice to this guy, He wants to give us some advice. He wants us to help us know how to enjoy our life better. And then ask for healing. You got to actually heal us from that and give us hope. Okay. So now let's think about activities that help us. What is something that you do that you just feel... I'm sorry, I already did that. Okay. Right. Let me do the conclusion. Okay, so now that we've been through those three things, the places we go, the things we have, the activities that we do, what I wanted to ask you to think through is what helped you by doing that. What enlightened you the most, maybe? What sort of stood out in your mind? That could have been something that was enjoyable, or it could have been something that was painful. Either way, but what was enlightening as you went through that? And how did you engage with God during this process? Did you sense that happening? And then actually go to God, and if there's anything you'd like to say to Him, you just say it. About this engagement that you had and how it went with you. And just like this rich young ruler, let's go to God and say, now, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? Because you know what? When he asks for eternal life, you can look at eternal life in so many different ways. Eternal life is God's presence. Being constantly in God's presence. Eternal life is living in God's kingdom, which is today. Eternity starts now. Eternal life is being forgiven. It's being saved. It's knowing that you're going to be saved for eternity. You see, when this guy came up to Jesus, he knew he was putting a lot of cards on the table, and he was asking Jesus to put his finger on something that maybe he wouldn't be able to follow through on. But he was kind of hoping it'd be like the commandments, and he could just work it out, right? He could add it on, and then it would be okay. But God has something different. He actually wanted to go into his heart like he does with us, and it becomes very personal. And he puts his finger on maybe not all your money, but maybe the other things that you're struggling with. And he says, are you willing to give this up? Because I'm telling you, as you do, I will give you life. Eternal life, in fact. And it can start today. It's for today. That's the gospel we have to share with people. And that's the one that's active in our lives right now and working. And as I went through it this morning, I'll just share one part of it. One part of it that I went through and that God just enlightened me, opened up my eyes. And I've been here before, but it happened again. Is that Jesus said to me, you're working way too hard. And you're working on things that are really not going to pay off. And it's looking good. It's looking good. But really, it's not good. He said, it's okay to work. And I need to work. We all need to work. And we need to work well. But Jesus put his finger on something. Because one of the questions that I asked at the end was, it says, okay, now let's pick an activity that you feel is holy, that is God-honoring. And on the list, one of them was prayer. And I thought, yeah, it's got to be praying. But then as I was going through this examine, I realized it wasn't that. I know, Matthew, wherever you are, it wasn't prayer. It was having fun and playing with my kids. Mm-hmm. That's what God said to me. Mm-hmm. That was going to be life-giving. That was going to be following through on what he has called me to do so that I could embrace him and engage with him. So what is he calling you to do? Right? In the scriptures, there's all sorts of things. And yeah, don't get caught up in the things you're buying. Don't get caught up. We can say all of those things that are typical. But God wants to go deeper into your heart and actually touch you where you're struggling. And he wants to set you free from it. Because that's his heart's desire. And that's why people like this guy run after Jesus. Because there's a hope that something different can happen, but we often end up walking away, sort of disappointed with our head down. But I'm telling you, that what these guys didn't know back then, when this letter was written, this guy did not realize that Jesus was going to die for him, right? He's going to take all of these things that he was struggling with, and he was going to give him power over them. It's all going to be done. And I'm going to tell you something that I've experienced. I've shared this with you before, but sometimes those things that we struggle with, that we have a hard time with, Jesus will be gracious and he'll just take them away. It's like that. And you won't even know what happened. And there's other things that you're just going to painfully go through and try to figure out, God, how's this going to work? How's this going to work? But in faith like children, we will go up to him and we'll say, Jesus, what is it? What must I do? And he'll show you. And then we have the opportunity to release it. So I don't know what it is for you today, and I know it's a holiday weekend, so enjoy it, but I want you to ask God, so what does this look like this afternoon or tomorrow that I've surrendered this? What does this look like? Because it's not, when this guy was looking, I'm almost done here, when this guy was looking for what he must do, he was thinking about laws, rules, and regulations, right? This is his, some people say he was a Pharisee, but he was looking for things that he could do to make life better. In our society, I think if we were the one running after Jesus, we'd come up and say, well, we may not be caught up on the rules, we may be caught up in the freedoms. We'd be saying, well, I could do this and this and this, and you know how I spend time with you here and here and here. I do all this kind of stuff. Well, the rules, we don't have to do that anymore because you've done it for us, Jesus. And so, but Jesus is saying, no, wait a minute. You do actually have to live for me. You're following me. Yeah, we have lots of freedoms. And Christ did the work for us. But what's it going to look like tomorrow after you surrender something to Jesus? That's the question. Jesus, what must I do? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's so powerful, intimate. It's so challenging. And yet you just love us as we run after you, even though we have no idea what's going to happen sometimes. So put your finger on our lives, God, and show us, because we want to be free in you. My experience in life, we've been fooled for a long time like this guy. And he's going to go back to the same thing, I guess. I don't know. I hope he changes his mind. But God, for us, we want to surrender to you. We want to give it up. And we want to help other people do the same. God, send us out. Just like he's showing the disciples, this is how you do it, man. This is how you do it. This is how you share Christ. It's actually very, very practical. Very life-giving. So we surrender that to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.